Today's daf in Masechet Chulin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf chet, and we're right at the top of the daf. Now the question is, you take your shechita knife, and you make it white hot, okay? And now you're going to go, you're going to shecht with this absolutely boiling shechita knife. Now the question is, of course, if you made a hole in the veshet, so remember we have two simonim. We have the veshet and the kana. The veshet is the esophagus. The esophagus is very sensitive to Hilchos Treifos. So if you have a tiny hole in the veshet, you immediately treifed up your shechita. The animal becomes a treif. So the problem is, if the heat is going to affect the veshet before the cutting motion will, so then the shechita obviously is going to be possible. Nonetheless, Amar Rabbi Zeir Amar Shmuel, if li bein sakin, so you now you've got this white hot knife, and you shecht with it, the shechita is kosher. Why? Because chiduda kodem lelibuna. The slicing effect is coming before the burning effect, and therefore, by the time you burn it, it's already shecht. Now, the obvious question is, as the Gemara immediately asks, via ikat stadim. Well, wait a minute. It's all very nice for the point of contact and the sharp point of the knife. But as the knife continues to penetrate, the sides of the knife are going to continue to burn before you finish the rove of the veshet. And that is going to cause a charfitz. And the truth is that even though up until now we didn't consider the kana, because the kana requires a rove in order to ruin it, but the truth is, if you just cut the veshet and you haven't cut in the kana yet, so then it's still going to passel it because it's going to burn it there before the shechita was finished. And therefore it's going to be passel. So how exactly could it be kosher? The answer is that the beta shechita mirvach ravach, that actually what happens is as you cut the esophagus, it pulls apart instantly because it's under pressure. And therefore, as it's cut, it pulls away from the knife as the knife continues to penetrate. And therefore, the sides of the knife do not touch the actual flesh of the esophagus. Iboilo. Now, we're going to get into this a little bit more because obviously we have to discuss not only the temperature, we have to discuss the heat. And this is something that we're going to be getting into immediately. So, Iboilo, let me ask you something else. But before we learn this, let me just introduce the issue over here. As you know, there are two different types of negoyim that come not from the nega directly on the skin, but that come from a nega on skin that has been affected and is healing from a problem of some kind, either a shechin or a michve. Now, a michve is the type of nega that appears in the place where the skin is healing from a burn. And a shechin is a place where the nega appears, where the skin is healing from an impact. Now, when we say an impact, the impact is understood also to be, so to speak, a heat problem, because the additional impact causes injury to the tissues through actually giving additional energy where it doesn't belong, and that's the equivalent of heat. So shechin itself is essentially a type of burn in a sense, and therefore you need to understand that things that burn but that do not come from chemical burning, let's say you have a radiation burn, which the Gemara discusses in a moment, if you have a radiation burn, then the healing is the healing of a skin of shechin and not a michva. So the only thing that is considered to be a michva is where you have what we call fire and not just the heat of something that might be coming from another process besides fire. So taking all of that into consideration, let's think about the different dinim of shechin and michva. Well, there are no different dinim. Shechin and michva are exactly alike. They're metame with only one hezger in a week and so on. They have the same simanim and they are exactly the same. So who cares whether it's a shechin or michva? Well, it makes a big difference because a shechin and a michva cannot combine. So if you only have a chatzi gris of a shechin and a chatzi gris of a mikvah, then you do not have a full gris of a nega. Furthermore, another important point is that suppose you have a combination impact on the skin. The combination was maybe you first hit the skin with a baseball bat, and then you burned it with your cigarette lighter. Okay, so now, what is the thing that defines the nature of the repairing skin? The last thing to hit it or the first thing? Is it the burn or is it the impact? Now, the difference will be, of course, if you start off with type A, let's say you start off with a mikveh, but you only have a chatzi gris, which is not enough to be metame b'mitzora. And then you hit right next to it another chatzi gris, first with an impact and then with the burn. What is that considered to be? An impact, in which case it's a shkin and a shkin and a mikveh do not combine, or is it considered to be a burn? Do we go according to what's first or last? The din is we go according to what's last. So now, you can immediately see that the question that was just raised by Shmuel, where if you're shechting, we consider the impact of the cut to come before the impact of the burn. So that means that the contact problem with the skin is first and the burn is second. Now that's a starting assumption. We're going to see that it's much more complicated than that. So let's take a look at the case. Ibailu, libein shapud vehikavo. So let's say you've got a spit and this spit is absolutely white hot. You've been using it in your barbecue, and he hits somebody with it. And then, as that skin begins to heal, a tsaras nega appears. What is that? Is that a shchin, or is it a mikveh? So mishum shchin nidon o mishum mikveh. Says the Gemara, who the heck cares? I mean, it's exactly the same. L'mai nafkamina, since there's no difference whatsoever between a shchin and a mikveh. Ah, but the difference is that, I mean, after all, as we say, both of them, it's true. Shchina mikvah betamim b'shavua echad, and there could be either seyar lavan that appears in it, or if it starts to spread. Those are the simonim that if at the end of the week show up, then the guy is considered to be a mitzora mukhlat. But why then did the pasuk have two completely different parshas, one after the other, of shchin and of mikvah, which essentially just repeat themselves? That's lomar she'ein mitzarfim ze im ze. It means that these two phenomena, despite the fact that they have the same symptoms, they are different issues and they cannot be mitzarif one with the other. Now you understand that if we know the difference between what a shrin is and what a mikveh is, we can now articulate what the question is. Because it's not. What defines a shrin and what defines a mikveh? So shchin is basically an impact or that which an impact causes. So now what the word for that is actually inflammation. And inflammation, of course, comes from the same word as flame and heat. Nonetheless, there's a difference between an actual fire and inflammation. So what is considered to be an inflammation in terms of shchin? I'll use that word in order to make it clear how close it is to mikveh in this discussion. And what is considered to be a burn? So let's say someone, the skin was impacted, he was hit with a baseball bat. So look up at eights, or with a rock, or begefet. Now, gefet is actually almost fire, because gefet is the residue that is oxidizing. So it's heating because of oxidation. This is very important to note. It's not the fact that the flames are flames of oxidation that's important. It's the fact that they're flames. And the idea over here is, even though we've got heat that's coming from the same exact process of combustion with oxygen, it's considered to be just an inflammation. And for that matter, if somebody is affected with boiling hot water, let's say from Chamei Tveria, the earth's magma is not considered to be a fire. It's considered to be heat. If there's not an actual flame, and what do I mean when I say not an actual flame? I mean to include radioactivity. So la tuye avarmi ikaro. So let's say you are taking lead out from a mine, and of course that lead is boiling hot because the lead is what's left after the uranium that was in the mine has decayed. So now you're talking about something that is boiling hot from radioactivity. And it's not going to be called a flame since it's only hot. So all of that is just considered to be an inflammation. That's shchin. But what is considered to be a mikvah? Well, it doesn't need to be burned directly by the flame. Let's say you were burned by the coal. You know, you don't see the open flame. Or by the remets, which is a leftover hot ashes. But those things were all heated by an actual flame. Or besidroteach. So you had lime that you were cooking up to use in a building. Or begypsis roteach. So you've got gypsum. Or bechol davar haba machmata. Or anything that comes from an actual flame. And that includes your kettle. So the water in your kettle, you'll think, well, what's the difference if the water comes from chametz veriya, if it comes from an induction pot, or it comes from a flame pot? It makes all the difference in the world. Even though in terms of the water, it makes absolutely no difference. The Torah is exeris hakosuv, that the nature of the damage to the skin has to be traced back to the original source of where the damage is coming from. So therefore, anything, even including the water in your kettle, as long as it was boiled, not by plugging it into your socket, but it was boiled in an old-fashioned way on top of the gas stoves that the Biden administration is trying to get rid of, or was trying to get rid of. Anyway, all of that is considered to be a mikvah. Now, what's the difference? Ah, here we go. Another thing you have to know. Now, all of these are things that have to be clearly established before we get to the simple question that we're asking. Furthermore, if you have a shechina and a mikvah that affect exactly the same spot on your skin, it depends what came first. Im shechin kodem lemikvah, I mean, I should say it depends what comes last, but if the shechin came first, then the mikvah, the burn, is going to now subsume the inflammation, and it's going to have a din of a mikvah. If the mikvah came first and then comes the smash, the impact, or the radioactive burn, so then the shechin canceled the mikvah. Okay, here's the question. Now that you've got all of the facts straight, here's the very simple question. So let's say a guy has a little tiny spot in which he had a shechin in the beginning. So it's a little radiation burn. It is less than a gris. So it's a chatzi gris, and it's there. And now somebody heats up, and this is the same situation that we had over here, apparently, in terms of the shrita, somebody heats up the spit, and he hits the guy with that spit. And now another chatzi gris of damage on the skin right next to the first chatzi gris breaks out. What is that? Is that a shechin or is that a mikvah? What came first? That's our question. Did the burn come first? And therefore, the impact and the inflammation of the impact is mevatel the burn and turns it into essentially a shechin and a shechin? Or did the impact come first and then the burn, which turns it into a chatzi gris mikveh, which will not be mitzaret with the chatzi gris shrin? So now you got all your, this is so exciting. You got all your facts straight, right? Just to get to this little question. Now it seems to boil down. So let's just read inside the Gemara what the issue is. My chavata kadim. So did the impact come first? And therefore this is now a hevel. And the hevel, which is the heat, came and canceled out the shrin. It turned it into a mikvah, but now it can't be mitztarif with the first shrin that was there, because now it's a shrin and mikvah, which don't combine, velo mitztarfim. Or do we say that the impact came first, and therefore the heat came first, and therefore the impact was subsumed of the heat that came before, and now it's a shrin and a shrin. We got a chatzi gris and a chatzi gris, and everything's great, and now it's going to be mitztaref, and everything's bad, because now this guy has saras. What's the din? So the Gemara makes the obvious comparison to the sugya that we just had from Shmuel. Toshma, the Amar of Yizerama Shmuel. Here you're talking about, you said, you heated up a spit, right? Okay, same idea. Now we're not talking about a spit, we're talking about a knife. But the same idea. Shmuel said that if you heat up a knife and you shech that knife, so then the chavata of the knife, so to speak, the impact of the knife, that is going to actually come first. So there's your answer. The heat came second, and this is a mikveh neshechit. So li bein sakin v'shachat pashchitato kshira, because the impact of the chitud comes before the libun. So you see that other impact beside heat comes first. Alma chavata kadim. No, that doesn't prove anything. How can you use that? Here we're talking about a knife. A knife is sharp. The blade of the knife has very little heat because it may have a high temperature, but it's got very little heat. And therefore, it's not going to be able to burn through at the beginning. You're talking about a spit. A spit has got a lot of metal that's in contact with the skin. It's got lots of heat. It's not just at a high temperature. And therefore, maybe in that case, we would say the opposite. Maybe the burn would come first. You can't bring a raya from chidud, because chidud gives you a very sharp edge with very few relatively fewer molecules that are heated that can transfer their heat to the skin. So it's not a good proof.
Question. I don't understand. We said before that it's not even touching. It's not that I have two impacts. The knife cut and therefore isn't touching the other part. Here both touched. Why is it a comparison?
That was about the side of the knife. Here we're talking about the impact of the cut.
Okay.
That was only our secondary issue. All right. So now, I'll bring you another proof. How about this? Libein shaput v'ikabo. So it says over here, exactly the case we're talking about. You made your spit very hot, and then you hit a guy with it. It's called a mikvah. So you see that the same idea. The chavata, the impact of the inflammation that's caused, comes before. And then comes the burn. And therefore it's called a mikvat esh. Yeah, but how do you know it's talking about that you hit him with the side of the spit? Maybe it means the spit has a sharp edge. Maybe it means you stuck it into him. In which case it would be the same case as the sakin. It might be talking about that you use the sharp end of it, and therefore it's the equivalent of chidud, because there's not enough metal to have the heat, and all you've got is a high temperature, and we've already established, okay, we know that a high temperature is not going to affect before the impact. Let's take a new question. We don't really have a clear-cut solution over here. Let me ask you something else. You've got a knife that was used for Avodah Zarah. That becomes Osur Bahana'a because it's Tashmishei Avodah Zarah. But you can still shecht with it, but you can't use it to cut the meat with it. Why is that? The reason you can shecht with it is because there's not considered to be a Hana'a. Shechita is damaging. Because lamaisa, as long as the animal was alive, it was suitable for all of the things that a live animal can be used for. You could, ultimately, if you want to, you can use it for food, but it could also be used to plow your field. It could also be used for breeding more animals. Once it's shechted, there's only one thing you could do with it, and that is eat it. So now you are lessening its value by doing that act of shechita. Obviously, once you process the meat and you butcher it and so on, but that's later on. But the act of shechita per se is a kilko. And you can't cut meat, because if you cut the meat, mitakenu, obviously, that makes the meat more valuable. Well, my Rava, look, I mean, it doesn't always have to be that way. It could be sometimes it would be just the opposite. Pa'amim sha'shochet asur. Let's say the animal is sick. And it's going to die. It's not a treifa, but it's ill. And if you don't shecht it, you're not going to be able to use it for anything. You're just going to have to put it in the dump. So then, obviously, you're improving it by doing the shechita. So if it's a misukenet, so then you wouldn't be allowed to use the knife of the Yaakov because it's a serbano. And sometimes it's mutter to cut it. Let's say that you had some very expensive cuts that were made into a beautiful gift. And now everybody's hungry. They decide they're going to cut it up. They cut it up to cut down half of its value. So then the cutting of the meat would be usur, because if you have atme, the kind of the kurbana, you've got very special choice meat. So that's meant to be a gift. Now you're going to be able to use it. So there the cutting actually lessens its value. Now, what this raises is a very important issue in Rev Barnea's life recently. And that is, why doesn't the knife become usur? Because it was used on tray for things. So typically, mishum sham nuniti isura. I don't understand. If basically you use this for avodah zara, so then obviously that meat is usur b'ana. It's a serious isra, isra avodah zara. And if you use the knife on an animal like that, then it has a deposit of animal fats on it, and that should make it usur to use. So how could you forget about isra avodah zara? And even if you're going to use it for anything, you're telling me, well, it depends if it's mekalka or metakein. Nothing to do with mekalka or metakein. It is a treifa knife. And how in the world could you use a treifa knife like that that's going to ruin anything that you cut with it? Well, at least we have 5 live people left. So, 6 live people. You never know who you can't trust anymore, I'm telling you. We used to have people that you could trust 100%. Now they start disappearing on you. Sheesh. What's going on? No Moshe Andel, no Gavi, no Mikey, no Richie, no Big N, no Sunroofs, no Tsuris, no Menach M.L. Sklars. What's happening around here? Even Akiva has somehow disappeared. Half of him has, anyway. I guess it's only the female part. Okay, that's tzniut. And we know Yaakov Kleinman's never going to get a camera, so we can't expect anything about that. All right. Hey, Mordechai, you don't want to just splatter a little bit of hamburger on us? I mean, just so we can get a gander at that beard. It's so worth it. It makes the week. You look like Yanover, the award winner. All right, great. So now I know that somebody's listening, I hope. So why aren't we concerned with a treifa knife? That's the issue. It's got these animal fats on it. Well, maybe the knife is brand new. It was never used. But you said it was a knife of avodah zarah. Yeah, but, you know, I dedicated it to avodah zarah, and it hasn't been used yet. No. You can't dedicate a knife to avodah zarah and make it usur b'hanah. Chadasha, bein l'Rabbi Yishmael, bein l'Rabbi Akiva, even though we do have a machlokas. Between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva, if you made something, this is referring to a goy, because we don't, in Yisrael it's different, but if a goy sets aside this statue that he bought to be his new getchka in church, but it's never been worshipped, there we have a machlokas between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds, the moment you say it's an avodah zarah, the guy says it's an avodah zarah, it becomes usur. And Rabbi Yishmael says, no, if it's new, it's not usur. But that's only about the actual getchka. Mishamshi avodah kochavime. A knife isn't an actual icon. And everybody agrees that mishamshi avodat kochavim ben asur nachi avodu. They for sure, until they're worshipped, they remain mutter. So sorry, but that cannot be the solution. It has to be a used knife. Okay, maybe it is a used knife. Maybe it's a used knife that you used for avodah zarah to cut the wood for the altar, you know? So, okay, that is a knife that's used for avodah zarah. It's usur b'hanah. Does it have any animal remains on it? No, it's never touched an animal. So that's one possibility. To pasak bar gavzal avodat kochavim, or v'baitema, you could say, so another answer. You could say, it is an old used knife covered with animal fats, but I was malabing it. Malabin, it means I heated it till it became red hot. It burned off all of the fats. And now, for all intents and purposes, it's a new knife vis-a-vis the kashrus of organic products on it. But it's an old knife vis-a-vis the iser of Aveda Zara, and it remains Aser Bano. So that's not a problem. All right, that's what we're talking about. So now we know about the knife. Now, the question is, how about if you use a treifa knife? A knife, not of for Avodah Zarah, but that belongs to a goy. He uses it in his kitchen all the time. It's covered with lard. God only knows what it is that's on it. And now you use that to shecht an animal. Now the question is, does that make the animal not kosher because it's now absorbed the lard that was deposited on the knife? I mean, you're certainly going to have to cut off that immediate part that was exposed to the lard, but how much do you have to cut off? So Rav says you have to cut off what's called klipa. Klipa means the thinnest possible, how do you say klipa in English? A shell, I guess, right? So it's like a shell.
Shell or skin.
So if it was a very thin, you pared it down, but that could
film. I think film is the word.
What's the word?
Film.
Whatever.
How about pellicle?
What?
A pellicle.
A catacomb?
A pellicle.
It's not coming through, Menachem. Mo Willie
okay.
Said film. A thin
a pelican. He said a pelican.
Pelico. Pelico.
He did not say pelican. He said pelico. And that's French to us. We don't know what that is.
If you're in the locks market, you know exactly what that is. Okay. So it's a very thin slice. You know, when they promise you five slices of locks, but they're completely transparent because they're one molecule thick. So. Yeah, Menachem's got experience in that. So it's the thinnest possible slice that will hold together. That is the shear of klipa. So Rav says that means you have to actually take off a piece of the flesh that's around the Beis HaShechita. Whereas Rabbi Bar Bar Chana says it's enough to wash it off. You can rub it down, and that washes away the fat. So basically, it means that the machlokas is it absorbed or is it only deposited? If it's only deposited on the surface, so then you can rub it off, wash it off, and then rub it down. But if it actually is absorbed, you're going to have to pare it down. So now, what's the machlokas about? This is the question that affected Barnea last week. So, lema b'haka miflagi. The marsav ar beit hashechitat sonin. The question is, apparently, that according to Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, it's cold. It's not hot enough to absorb. In order to absorb into something, you need heat. And therefore, if this isn't hot, so then it's not going to absorb and it's only going to be deposited. Whereas Rav holds that the Beit HaShechita is actually roteach, and it's hot enough to be mekabel, an actual infusion in which it's boleya. And that's the difference. Now, this is the part that's nogea barnea. As you know, the shiur for absorbing things through heat is what? Yad soledet bo, right? Means that you actually can scald your hand on it. It doesn't mean scald, but it means you're going to pull your hand away. It's so hot. Now, obviously, a Beit HaShechita is not Yad Soledet, which means that in discussing a knife, you're taking into consideration, as the Gemara is going to say later, in a moment, you're taking into consideration, besides heat, enormous pressure. Because, again, a knife has an extremely thin blade, and you are putting on tons of pressure per square inch on that blade in order to cut. An incredible amount of pressure because it's all concentrated on a tiny sliver of metal that is right at the cutting edge. So that means per square centimeter, you're putting on tons and tons of pressure. So then that means that in conjunction with pressure, you don't need Yad Soled Edbo. Now the question is, if something is warm, how warm would it be for it to be together in conjunction with the pressure to be able to absorb? That's the issue. And that was the Barnea problem. Am I correct for Barnea? That's what happened. The question was, how warm was that meat that was cut? So maybe that's the machlokas. Not necessarily. It might be that everybody agrees it's considered to be roteach, in which case, mandiyom kolev. So if you say you have to actually pair it like rav, that makes sense if it's called roteach. Whereas mandiyom mediach has another issue. It's fascinating. We have this one thing which is bringing up a lot of concepts that are going to come up again throughout the Masechet in Dinim of Kashrus. And that is, and this is an agavi rule, it's Aide de Teride Simanim La Fuke Dam Lo Bale. We have a claw that something that is torud with expelling, it will not be bolea. In other words, something is not both bolea and also mavlia at the same time. So if the simonim over here are actually under pressure, the blood, remembers under pressure, and you cut this at the first moment of shechita, that blood is under very high pressure. It spurts out for a very long distance. And because of that, it will not be bolea. So there's no absorption, there's only expulsion. And because of that, in this case, it's enough to wash it off, but they may not be discussing whether there's enough heat to be bolea. Or you could say the other way. Maybe everybody agrees that the Beit HaShechita is considered to be tzonein, and it definitely wouldn't normally absorb. But Mandi or Mediach, okay, I understand. So it's not hot enough to absorb. Whereas Rav was saying the reason you need to be kolef is because of the pressure on the knife combined with the heat. So Agav, to this case, according to this, may be the question of the Dukka de Sakina even without heat. Because the original case was taking into consideration the with heat. If you're saying agav duchke de sakina, it would be bala, even if it wasn't warm at all. So then that is a completely different halacha. And in fact, if you take a look in Taisvus here, he brings the Rivam Shita, which we don't actually paskin like. I mean, I shouldn't say that, but the minig is not to go like the Rivam. And the Rivam says it makes no difference whether it was completely cold or it was somewhat warmed, which is different.
Maybe talking about the duchte de sakina?
That's what I'm talking about.
Saying the tosfos.
Yeah. So if it's warm or if it's cold, makes absolutely no difference. And therefore would even be true in a completely cold situation. We don't actually go like that. We go only if there is some heat, which was the Barnea question this week. Now, there's another issue that this raises, which is remarkable. And that is, how is any shechita kosher? Because, look, don't we have to worry about the fact that an animal is Eiver Min HaChai? Like, when you start shechting, it's Eiver Min HaChai, right? So then any organic material on the knife is now going to aser the achila, unless you get into the same problem of what you do. So first we start easy. Let's say we have a sakin that was used to shecht, and it turned out that the animal was a treifa, which often happens, right? So after the shechita, you do the bedikas. It turns out the animal was a treifa, and now that means that that knife is now covered with treif fats and organic material. So what's the din about that? How do you clean it? Pligi baravacha v'ravina. One says you have to use actual hagola. You'll need to use boiling water. It has to be done b'chamin. And one says, no, you can even use cold water to clean it. So in other words, obviously, we're taking, if you say you can use him in cold water, it means it's certainly not considered to be Beis HaShchita, is not considered to be hot enough. The only question is that there's something on the surface. So he holds depositing. And he would, the question is, would he agree that in the case before, that the sakin of an Oved Kechavim, you could just wash out? Tosfos says no. A sakin of an Oved Kechavim is constantly used, and therefore, we're not going to be makel on it that you could just wash it off. I mean, you've got deposits here from maybe months of use. And that's not going to come off by just washing it and drying it. But this case, he says it's enough over here. It was never used for tarfas. So that what you do is just wash it off. Now, this raises, as Tosis points out, another issue, which was also a Barnea issue this week. So it came up in perfect timing, Rav Barnea. And that is that Tosis points out that you can actually use the idea of the itza. You can put the knife, this is everybody knows about this, you put the knife into the ground and that makes it kosher. But that is a bunch of bull. You can't put a knife into the ground to make it kosher. So the idea of the itza of a sakin is that when you have a hard surface that you use the knife against, and it's the kind of surface that doesn't cut, but that sticks. So if you have a very hard ground and you put the knife into that ground, then you're rubbing it basically with sandpaper. Now, if you do that 10 times in different spots, so that you can't put it into the ground, and you can't put it into your flower pot, which is nice and soft. No, and you can't bury it in the ground and say, abracadabra, I hereby dub the kosher. None of that works. So you have to really do the itza. And there's another big problem. You can only use the itza if there is no notch of any kind in the knife. If there's a little notch, then obviously the ground isn't going to rub up against that. And therefore, any shamnunis that was left there is still going to come out when you're cutting a piece of meat with it, right? So it's not really a very effective solution in most cases.
So, but if you use the grinder, the concept, if you took a grind and grinded the sides, a grinding machine.
That
would be perfect.
Yeah.
That's the concept.
Yeah. The chadamar v'tzonin, the yilchata afila v'tzonin, in the case of the treifa, and that does not necessarily, as we said, does not necessarily mean that if you used a goyish knife, like we said, that would be the same. Besides which, there's a big difference between a case where, you know, you're cutting. It depends what it is that you're going to be cutting with it, of course. So if there is more of a chance of depositing fats and so on, that would be more of a problem. So the ilchata afilu b'tzonin, and what's more, you don't really need water, as Alon just pointed out. If you can sharpen this knife with a sharpening stone, or even if you've got a really tough kind of rag, like the kind of things that are used sometimes on really tough stains, so you have a belita de parsa to wipe it down with, lemichpere, note the lotion of kapara. Kapara means always cleaning off, right? Boile chapure yode, bahu gavra, as Rashi brings. So if you have something lemichpere, you have something to be mechaper on it, that is to say, to clean it off, then lo tzorech, all you need to do is use that. Now, let me ask you something. The one who said that you need to use boiling hot water, is that because he's considered to be hot enough that the knife actually was boleya? Was boleya iser? So then I don't get it. Then every shchita should be aser. Because why don't we say that when you started shechting the animal, it absorbed Avram and Achai? And there, that would mean that every time you use a sakin of shchita, you should have to go and do hagala on it in order to get rid of the is, because you're saying it's boleya. What's the difference between treifa and the Avram and Achai at the beginning of the shchita? So I don't understand. How is it that we said you could clean it, you need to boil it? No, Because when does the sakin get hot? The sakin only actually gets hot enough to absorb iser when it's chayma. It doesn't get hot immediately when it touches the Beis HaShechita. It's after it's cut on the Beis HaShechita, and that creates the heat in the knife. So in Emas Kachayma, when does it get hot enough to be Bolea? Only by the time of the Gemar Shechita. And at that point, it's Heter, it's no longer Evrim and Achai. That's why we don't worry about it. But if you use it to Shech the Trefa, then the end of the Shechita is not kosher, because the end of the Shechita, when it's hot, is already called the Trefa. And therefore, we need Hagolah. Only reviewed on Marav, in practical terms, you need to have three separate knives if you are a butcher who does his own Shechita. You certainly can't use your Shechting knife to cut the animal, because then to cut the bones and so on is ridiculous. You won't be able to use it again to shech unless you work 3 hours on it to make it a smooth knife again. We don't allow you to use the knife for that. Keep your chalif, as it's called, keep your sakin shel shechita separate. And of course, you'll always see a shechet that's got a velvet-lined special box in which he puts his chalif, and he keeps it very, very carefully. It's Kadesh Kadashim, and if anybody comes within 5 feet, alarms go off, and he starts yelling, stay away from my chalif, and so on. So that he needs to keep separate. Echas Sheshochet Ba. He needs another one for cutting the meat, and then he needs another one for cutting areas that has non-kosher chalev. He can't use the same knife. Well, I mean, couldn't he use one knife for the meat and the chalev and first cut meat and then cut the chalev before he, you know, cleans it off? I mean, that way it's always in the right direction, so he only needs two, not three knives. No. Because he get confused. What if he cuts chalavim and then he cuts basar? He needs two knives. I don't understand. And now he doesn't get confused. Now he's get, what if he picks up the wrong knife? So hashtanami mikhlefle. Ah. But kivan de atzrachinu trei, if he needs two knives, then he's going to have to paint one with a blue handle and one with a red handle, and then he's going to immediately see which knife it is. But if it's the same knife, it's just a question which comes first, then he's not going to be able to necessarily not get confused. But this, if we made this takona, that prevents confusion, because that's going to, agav, always make the difference. Everybody here I see who came from families of Shechtim are nodding their heads in approval of, oh my gosh, yes indeed. Okay. Ve'omer Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, HaTabach, there's another thing. He also, this butcher, has got to have two completely different sinks in which he washes things. He fills up these containers of water, one of which is for basar, and one of which is where he washes off things that were used for chalev. Well, can he have one and first nadir bo basar and then be in mediach the chalavim? I mean, that way, in the end, there won't be any chalev that touches the meat, and then by the time it's ready for reuse, that's after he's cleaned the whole thing out and boiled it out and whatever. Yeah, but it's a gezerah that he'll do the same exact issue. Gezerah shem yadiyah chalavim and v'yachakach basar. What if he does it in the wrong order? Well, now he can also do it in the wrong sink. I mean, I don't understand. Hashtanami mikhlefei. Yes, but the same answer. If he needs two sinks, then obviously, when I say sink, it means just a container, any type of container of water, obviously. Since he needs two, he's going to make some kind of difference between them. One's going to be blue, one's going to be red, I don't know. But he's definitely going to immediately see, well, so that he doesn't, you know, mix himself up. He's going to obviously have a way to be able to look and to tell. Let me tell you something. If you are butchering a flunkin, so now it's got actual chalev on it, right? So don't, don't take the flunkin before you've taken off the chalev and turn it on a counter that has meat on it. Because some of that chalev can then start dripping into the meat that you put it on top of. So you have to be very careful, make sure that you don't put it on another piece of meat. Well, I don't understand. What do you mean another piece of meat? So then how can you put it on at all? It's attached to its own meat. So Kateritsinami, even if you put it straight down and you've got the fats on top and the meat on the bottom, and you don't have the meat underneath the other piece of meat, you don't have it near the fat, but the fat's going to melt into the meat that's attached to it. Doiv tarba balabisra. Why aren't you concerned about its own meat? Oh, come on, man. There's this thick membrane between the fat and the meat, and the fat never can actually drip into the meat. What? But then how does it drip into the meat on the other way? It has a membrane on both ends, as you well know. There's a membrane on both sides of fats. So why are you worried about putting it on the other direction and having the fat drip into the meat underneath? Ah, but the membrane on top has been open in the butcher shop, and it's being touched by people who are working on the farken. Touching a membrane weakens it, which can cause leaks. And therefore, if you're going to put it, keep it on its own direction, its natural direction, and the part that's between the membrane, between the meat and the fat, hasn't been touched by anybody. And therefore, it's going to completely prevent drippings of fat. But here, the upper membrane, once the butcher starts working on this piece of meat and he comes into contact with that membrane, it gets ruined, it gets weakened, and because of that, it's unable to prevent dripping fat from affecting a piece of meat underneath. Practical halacha.